Matthew 16:13. This weekend, as we honor our fallen heroes, we do want to take a second to thank our military personnel. Amen. We really do. I know it's cliche, but truly, there's only two people that ever died for you, American soldier and Jesus. So it does mean a lot. It does mean a lot. We're going to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, how important it is, and how important the revelation of who you are is as well. Matthew 16:13 says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You can be seated. I've preached this so many times in my life, but I noticed something interesting in this, Darren, that I never really noticed before. I noticed an exchange took place. When Peter began to proclaim who Jesus was, and I want to let you know, it is extremely important that we know who Jesus is. It is extremely important that we have the revelation of who Jesus is. It can't be taught. It has to be caught. It has to come through revelation. God has to reveal himself to you. Porky, the Bible tells us that their eyes are darkened, or they're withholding, or we live in a world of people that are blind because he hasn't revealed himself to them yet. But when God reveals himself to you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When the light comes in, you can't be blind. Once he reveals himself to you, I once was blind, now I see. There's a revelation, there's a spark, there's illumination that takes place when we realize who Jesus is. It's interesting in this world that we live in, we can talk about God because most religions believe there is a higher deity. But where the rubber meets the road is when you mention the name Jesus. There comes a little bit of friction in some realms, because when you say Jesus, there is a higher power, but Jesus claimed to be something that nobody else claimed to be. He claimed to be the only way to get to God. He claimed to be the avenue, the only way, the only truth, the only life. He claimed to be that one door that you had to go through. So we may believe in a higher power, but how do we get to that higher power? The problem is God is holy. And because God is holy, we were born unholy. Look at the person beside you and say, you was a heathen. Now look at the person on the other side that you wanted to ignore and you don't like them as much. Tell them they're a heathen too. We were born into... Y'all seemed really excited about telling people they were heathens. There was a buzz going on in the crowd. We were born into sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We had a fallen nature that we were born with. Sam, we use this a lot, but you can see a 10-foot or a 2-foot tall kid. Whoa. Tell a 10-foot tall lie. Nobody has had lying classes with their kid. If you sat down and had class with your kid, now listen, here's how you lie. If you do something and mom catches you, you tell her you didn't do it. You don't have to teach them that. It's in their nature. It was in your nature. It was in all of our natures. We were born into sin. But being born into sin, once I realize and come to the knowledge of who Jesus was to bring me out of my sin, it becomes my motivation to give something back to him. The reason I love him is because he first loved me. The problem is some of y'all were gooder than others. I know gooder ain't a word. I know that. But it's so much more fun to say. Some of y'all behave better than others. Some of y'all by nature are nice people. Some of y'all have to fight tooth and nail, even with Jesus on your side, to be nice. I know you. It's difficult. Some people do by nature what we struggle to do with the Spirit's help. Some people are just kind. Some people are sweet. I want you to take a minute. They're doing some road work up here by the gas station. What is it? And I want somebody to go up there and watch the cars that have City on a Hill stickers on the back of them. Because that right lane, people get in it on the other side of Walmart, and then some people go up the left lane knowing that it's closed. Why y'all laughing? Because you know. And you sit there and you watch them, and you're getting close to where it all comes together, and you go, oh no, oh no. Raise your hand if you're guilty. I told you, you're heathens. But, there's some people in that line, they don't even go to church. And they know what those people are doing. They're like, come on over, come on over. And here you are with the help of Jesus on your side. Some people do by nature what you struggle to do with help. Am I telling it right? But it don't matter how good you are in your nature and how kind you are. And if you let people over, what matters is, even though the nicer person may let somebody over, that same person has to have a revelation of Jesus in their life if they're going to go to heaven. I think when we get to heaven, I got this idea, there's going to be some surprises in heaven. You're going to be like, I really thought that they were going to make it. And then there's going to be some people there, you're like, for real? You? Wow. Don't laugh. There are going to be people that are surprised that you're there. Jesus asked a question. He said, what are people saying about me? What are people saying? Who are they saying that I am? The first one kind of, I don't get it. They're saying you're John the Baptist. Well, what about the other John the Baptist that's out there in the wilderness? That's not the same guy. I don't know where they got that from. Some say you're this, some say you're that, some say you're one of the prophets. There's a lot of people that have a lot to say about who Jesus is. Well, he was a good prophet. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. But he said, who do you say that I am? The question is, what is your revelation of Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter stepped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice what he says. He said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then an exchange takes place. I've read it, but I never read it quite like this. Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon Barjona. Now watch verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art. He says, who do you say I am? You're Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He says, now I'm going to tell you who you are. Oh, this is good. This is good because you're never going to figure out who you are unless you figure out who he is. Let me say that again. You're never going to figure out the plan for your life until you figure out who the planner is. You're never going to figure out what God has designed you to do until you get the revelation of who Jesus is. You can go ahead and clap if you got the revelation, because he's worthy. If I don't know him, I can't know me. There are people all in this world. They're running around trying to figure out who they are. And man, it's getting mixed up. They're trying to figure out who they are. And some of them say they're cats now. And I know we think that's a little humorous, but that's how mixed up people are in finding out who they are. Hey, how are you? I'm a tiger.
What?
I don't know if it's true or not. People tell me this, that they're considering putting litter boxes in schools. Is that real? Yeah? Man, it's a long way from I'm a ninja. Ain't it? What's the problem? The problem is, as society gets farther and farther away from Jesus, they can't figure out who they are. And I'm going to tell you this, I think it's going to get worse. Before you know it, people are going to be marrying their appliances. It's a sad state that we are in. I didn't think it was real till I went to the park not long ago, and I seen these kids crawling around the park with tails strapped to them and ears on their head. I saw this with my own eyes in West Virginia, and we're last on everything. Any kind of fad that's going on, it's happening here. It's been happening everywhere else for a long time. What? And I looked and I said, "Man, the identity that we're in crisis." We can't figure out not just who we are. We can't figure out what we are. But when we figure out, listen, I want to preach Jesus like Jesus needs to be preached. How do you want to preach him? I want to preach him like this. There is no other avenue. There is no other Savior. There is no other Redeemer. There is no other revelation. There is no other King. There is no other anointing. There is no other bread. There is no other comfort. There is no other peace. There is no other help. There is no other life. There is no other way. There is no other Lord. There is no other faith. There is no other baptism. There's no other way to get to God but through Jesus. So when I get this revelation of who he is, it's amazing how Peter got his revelation. He got it through the Spirit. He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. He said, my Father in heaven told you this. Now let me tell you who you are. Because you know who I am, I'll tell you who you are. You're no longer Simon, but you're Peter. And upon this rock, Peter means Petros, that's rock. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me say it like this. When you got the true revelation of who Jesus is, hell can't handle you. But I want to show you something. It's a lot of verses, but it's more verses than some of y'all will read the whole month. You're laughing because you're guilty. Take me to my next verses, Jacob. I want you to watch this. This story is so powerful. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, hey, give me something to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have all right, notice what she notices first. She notices he is a Jew. Right? At this point, she says, how are you being a Jew? She's got that down. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have had asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let me say it like this. If you really knew who I was, you would be asking something of me. She's got, he's a Jew. The woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And thou greater, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? What a question. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Pick me, I know the answer. Are you greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Say everlasting. How long does it last? How long is that? Everlasting. Everlasting. If you are saved right now, I'll see you in heaven. Try it again. If you are washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, and born again, I'll see you in heaven. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Amen? It's not temporary life. It's everlasting life. Well, preacher, when does my salvation expire? It doesn't expire. I don't get too doctrine on you. You'll get nervous, and then, you know, somehow I'll get mad, and then I'll be here late. All right. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, you know what? I'd like to have this so I don't have to come back here. Like, she's trying to get out of work. It'd be nice to have this water so I don't have to come all the way up here to this well because the well's deep. We done established that. I need you to give it to me. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband. Uh-oh. Anybody knows the story? This gets a little crazy right here. He said, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I ain't got no man. That's my version. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, you don't have a husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband, and thou saidest that truly. He said, you're right. The woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Progressive revelation here. You see it? She comes up and she says, what are you doing asking me? You're a Jew. Jesus starts talking. Let me tell you what he's revealing. He's revealing to her who she is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When God started dealing with you, did he start revealing to you who you were really, really was? Yo, you said you was a pretty all right person, but you told the person beside you they were a heathen, but you thought you was okay. But then when God starts revealing to you who you are, you start feeling like Isaiah when he got into the presence of God. He said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. The woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus, she said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She goes straight to worship debate. Jesus said to her, woman, there's a comma there, so I got to stop right there. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. This had to get a little sticky right here, didn't it? He's saying, oh, you don't even know what you're worshiping. Salvation's coming through the Jews, not the Samaritans. Slap, slap. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Let's go. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can study it later. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh. We've heard that there's a Messiah coming. What got her mind thinking about that? She's done went from Jew to prophet to now her mind is on Messiah. I'm going to tell you how. God started revealing to her who she was. And when she started figuring out who she was through his revelation, she started talking about who he was. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he shall tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, This is a drop the mic moment. This is powerful, powerful. I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went from Jew to prophet to Christ. How? Because when she had a conversation with him, he began to reveal to her who she was and reveal to her who he was. And when you get that revelation, you're going to have the best blessed life you'll ever have when you figure out who he is and figure out who you are. Don't forget, you was born a heathen. Don't forget, you still got heathenistic ways sometimes. I didn't get many amens on that, but I know you. But here's what happens, Alice. When I realize who I am and I realize who he is and I get the revelation of what he done, then it motivates my life to worship him because he saved me anyway. Hey, listen here. There are certain people in certain religions that woman would have came up there at the well, said, oh, no, not her. Not her. We don't want nothing to do with her. Jesus saved her. Well, you're not as excited about that as I am. You know why? Because when he saved me, he saved a wreck. How many of y'all didn't know what you were singing when you sang Amazing Grace as a kid and you said saved a wrench like me? Anybody? Anybody for real? Raise your hand if you thought it was wrench. Yeah. Because y'all need to look down. It's page 53 in those red Baptist hymnals and y'all didn't look. Y'all just sang wrench. You know what it should be sometimes? A wreck like me. I guess now if I'm a wrench, I'm a Christian wrench. Man, what a wretch we are. But he saved us anyway. He said, oh, you got issues going. I know that. She went and said, hey, come and see. Come and see. I thought he was a Jew. I thought he was a prophet. But I found out he was much more than that. He's Messiah. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. What did he do? He had a conversation with her. And he revealed to her who she was. All right, hurry. How much time? How long? Hey, what's going on? What time is it? Any questions? All right, here we go. Galatians 1, 11 through 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men or after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jack, when we get the revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done, it'll change your whole life. And those things that we thought that were important, like the water, did you catch that? She left her water pot. She left what she came there for because she found what she really needed. Yeah. You thought, you know, people come to church for different reasons, you know? Amen. When young teenage boys come to church and they're alone, I watch them. Because their grandma told them, honey, if you want to get a good girl, you got to go to church. Hey, listen, not everybody comes into the church with pure motives. Yeah, that's real. So I'm like, hey, buddy, what are you doing here? We'll kill you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, seriously, we'll hurt you. Not everybody. But you know what happens? Was anybody ever tricked into going to church? Yeah, pizza. What was you, tricked? Yeah, somebody kind of, you like, y'all know my story. I didn't want to go the night I got saved. I didn't want to go. I kind of got swindled into it. And then when I got there, and once I got there, and once he touched me, man, and once I realized none of the reasons that I went really mattered. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Man, when you get there and you get to know him, you forget the water pot. Come on, musicians, let's go. I got so many verses, but I know y'all got cookouts and stuff. Marvin, I remember when you first started coming to church. You came a couple times and then you wouldn't come anymore. And then she couldn't come. And being the good guy that you are, you brought those girls to Sunday school. You remember? I said good guy. He was still a heathen. But man, you started bringing those girls to Sunday. And I watched you. I watched you. Something started getting a hold of you. Am I telling it right? He came to be a good dad to those girls. That's the reason he came. But what he didn't realize, something was planned that was just bound to happen. And man, I'm telling you, as a pastor, it was so fun to watch. Caitlin, listen, I hate when you miss church, but I'm so glad you couldn't come. Yeah. Because it made him come on his own, and man, God started doing a work in him. And I don't know if y'all remember the day that he came to the altar. Man, it was awesome to see. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, it's just the power of God and the revelation of Jesus. I don't know why you're here today, but I'm glad you're here because if you can figure out who Jesus is, it'll change your whole life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go. Let's sing. So here's what we do. To the visitors, here's how we roll. After the sermon, we give you a minute or two to respond to what you've heard. They're going to sing a song. While they're singing the song, it's not for your entertainment. It's to set an atmosphere that you can talk to God, and if something in this service has happened that you need to pray or that you need prayed for, we're here for you. If you come to this altar, you won't pray alone. If you're lost and you want to be saved, today's the day. We are on your side. Nobody's going to look down on you if you come to the altar. Because you know what? It's how most of us got started. We don't want you to leave here out of fellowship with Jesus. I've had people look at me and they say, man, preacher, I'm frustrated. I'm so frustrated. It's because you're not where you need to be. People come to me and say, I can't sleep at night. That thought is so foreign to me. I couldn't imagine staying up at night and not being able to sleep. Because, man, here's what I know, Gary. If I don't wake up tomorrow, I'm in a better place. Amen. I didn't always have that assurance, but I got it now because I know who Jesus is. And I don't base this on who I am. I base this on who he is. Because he revealed to me who I am. And without him, I'm a wreck. But with him, I'm a child and a saint of God. So as they sing, you can sit, you can stand. If you need to pray at the altar, we're going to pray with you. You won't pray alone. If you need prayer, just come right up here and stand. And we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray for you. Because we believe that we're talking to a God that can move in your situation.